Thank you for joining us here at Life Church. It's an honor to share God's word with you today. Our prayer is that you will connect with Jesus Christ as you hear his word online. We'd love to have you visit one of our upcoming gatherings. For more information, visit us online at www.liferva.org or contact our church offices and we'll be happy to help you in any way that we can. Let's go now to one of our recent services where you can experience a life-giving message from God's word.
Lord, let's go to our Bibles, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. If you've been in church any amount of time in your life, you've probably heard this verse before. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed," by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, these are some powerful words with a lot to unpack coming from the Apostle Paul as he was writing to the Christians who were in Rome. Even the tone of his words let us know that there are some things in this verse that God is desiring and even urging for you and I to do. Now, there's a very important meaning and context behind Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And I want to say this right up front. The application into your life of this command, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. It will make all the difference in your Christian walk. Amen? It will. So I want to preach on this subject today, metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. What does it mean to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed? Well, let's start by making it simple. Let's define two of the important words that are in this verse, conform and then also transform. The word conform can mean to pattern after or to be shaped by or to be pressed into a mold. Conformed can also mean to act in accordance or harmony with something or someone. Conform can mean to comply, to act in accord with whatever the prevailing standards are or the attitudes or practices of a society or even a group, to be or to become similar in form or nature or character. In other words, to conform to this world then is to become similar in form or nature or in character to this world. To be patterned or shaped by the prevailing standards of this world. To be pressed into that mold. And see, when something is pressed into a mold, it takes on the shape or the look of whatever that mold is. Now, when my girls were growing up at home, one of the family traditions that we had, and really it was more with my wife, they loved to bake cookies. And particularly at holiday time, we had some holiday ornaments, some molds that we would use, and they would take those molds Christmas time, and there were little molds that you could use to make Christmas trees or different things, different shapes and sizes of stuff. And some of y'all probably did the same thing too, right? You've got these little molds, and you press it into the dough, and what happens is you bake them, and then it creates something that reflects what molds it. Now, after the cookies were baked, this is usually when I came into the picture after they were baked. When it was time to spread the icing and eat the warm cookies, I was always around. Amen. But now we continue this tradition with our grandkids. That's what it's like to be molded. Or maybe you've seen some of the videos on YouTube or on television where they're pouring hot steel into a form, and maybe they're making a tool or they're making a beam, and you see this hot molten liquid and it's poured into a mold, and then after it's cooled and hardened, it takes on the shape of what? The mold, the thing that shaped it. It's really similar. Our spiritual enemy, the devil, is trying to do the same thing to us, and he tries to influence us and mold us away from the will of God for our lives. When a person is conforming to the world, they're literally being pressed or shaped into the pattern or the ways of the world. How does the enemy do it? Well, he uses culture, right? He uses political pressure. He uses peer pressure. He uses our own lusts and our own temptations and our weaknesses. Anything that he can do to entice us to be conformed into an image that does not bring glory to God. Or can I just say it? Doesn't really bring much glory to us either. I mean, look, can we just be real? I don't know too many people who later on in life go, man, I'm so proud of what I did in the days of my riotous living. I'm so proud of the way I looked when I was drunk. Amen. You know, we really don't do ourselves any favors by living in the patterns of this world. Now, by comparison, that word transform comes from a Greek word metamorpho, which is where we get the word metamorphosis from. Transform means to change in form or appearance or structure, to change in condition or nature or character, to convert, to change into another substance or to transmute. In the world of physics, it literally means to change into another form or a different form of energy. See, to be transformed, particularly the Bible says, by the renewing of your mind, means we are becoming something new. And here's what you need to understand. Transformation is an intentional decision to be different. Not just pressure from society, not just the enemy molding and shaping. It is an intentional decision to act. It's an act of transformation. That word metamorpho in the Greek is actually, it's a combination of two words, meta and morpho. Meta meaning beyond or after, being changed after being with something or someone. And then morpho, from which we get our word morpho, means changing in form or shape. Now, let me unpack this for you a little bit. It's an outward change. Metamorphosis is an outward change in our lives that reflects an inner reality after being with someone. And for us as believers, I'm talking about after we come into contact with Jesus in our lives. Amen? Conformed or transformed. Metamorphosis or being shaped by the world. It's an age-old struggle. Am I going to be conformed into the image of the world, or am I going to be transformed into the image of what God wants me to be? Do I do what I should do, or do I cave into what I want to do, right? Or what I feel pressured to do? Do I follow the path that is right, or do I follow the path that is easy? Do I go with the crowd, or do I follow the right path, which is sometimes the narrow way? Conforming is acting or complying or becoming similar to something. But transformation, hear me, or metamorphosis, it is a change in the very elements or the core of who you are. Amen. So the question is this. Are you being conformed to this world, or are you being transformed into the being that God has created for you to be? Amen. Are we becoming and striving for what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Pastor, you might say, well, I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to be conformed to this world. How do I let this metamorphosis happen in my life? Well, it begins by recognizing, and it's not that complicated, by recognizing that the process starts in verse 1. Let's read it again, Romans 12 and 1. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to, here it is, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So if change begins after being with Jesus, how do you get to the meta, the place of being changed after this encounter with God? The scripture says this happens when we offer ourselves, our lives, our bodies, our will to God as a living, everybody say living sacrifice. Now this Saturday when I go to Rio, Brazil, the Brazilian steakhouse, there's going to be some things that I eat that have already been offered as a sacrifice. I don't expect to hear any cows mooing in the kitchen, any chickens clucking in the background, amen? Those are things that have already died and have been sacrificed for my benefit. Thank you, Jesus, amen. And those are, it's easy, right? It's easy to sacrifice something that's dead. But the Bible says we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. Now, when you look at the Bible, historically, most sacrifices were made at altars. Now, we don't have Old Testament altars today, but we do have a personal altar, and that is our worship and our prayer. Our personal devotion to God. Amen. It's how you spend time with God, how you offer yourself as a living sacrifice, your time of worship and prayer with God, both corporately when we come together, which, by the way, this is an important setting that we're in right now. When you come together and experience corporate worship, amen? I see, because I think sometimes we forget, worship is not about us. When they start up the music and they sing the songs, amen, doesn't matter what the genre is, doesn't matter who the artist is, doesn't matter if the song is new or old, worship is about me connecting to God. Come on, somebody, amen. So that's part of the corporate worship. But also worship is about what I do in my private time, my personal time with God. And that looks differently depending upon your life or your lifestyle or your schedule, whatever it might be, or what season of life that you're in. That is your personal altar. That's how you get to the place of meta or the place of change. That transformation, it begins by spending time with God at an altar, beginning with repentance, but continuing with prayer and with worship. Now that second part though, the morpho, the continuing changing and shaping in the likeness of Jesus. It happens with the next part of this passage, the renewing of your mind. First, you offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Then secondly, there's the renewal of the mind. Look at Romans 12 and verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. See, the process of renewing your mind must become an inner reality for all of us that eventually makes its way to the surface of our life. How do you renew your mind? One way is you've got to guard what you let in. Guard what you let in. You remember the old saying, it's so true, garbage in, garbage out, right? This means what? In practical terms, we got to be careful about the conversations that we allow ourselves to be drug into. I need you to pray with me about something. What is it? Well, I really need you to pray with me about someone. Who is it? Well, I need you to pray about what they've been doing. And next thing you know, you've gone down this path, right? And it's like, oh, I don't need to be a part of a negative conversation. I don't need to be a part of a hurtful conversation. It means we got to be careful about what we allow in. Be careful about the media content that you absorb and consume. Amen? Come on, music, TV, movies, video, amen. When's the last time you thought about that? We got to be intentional about what you watch, what you listen to, what you read. I didn't mention this in the first service, and I don't make any money off of this, so I'm just going to throw out a plug. Someone recommended to me something years ago called VidAngel. How many of you ever heard of VidAngel? I'm just throwing it out here. You take it and do with it what you. For $99 a year, it's an app that you can subscribe to that will allow you to set restrictions on sexual images, nudity, violence, curse words. Why can't I think of curse words? All these things on your, and you can stream Netflix through it, Apple TV through it, Prime Video through it, and we got it. And I want you to know, it's so nice to be able to look at a show and not have to be inundated with all that stuff. I'm just throwing that out there. If you've got a family and you watch a lot of TV, VidAngel, $99 a year. I don't make no money off of it, I promise. But what did Paul say? He said, be careful what you let in. And guess what? That also includes be careful who you let in. Come on. 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul said, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Amen. Bad company might have made good music back in the day. Amen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Bad company, though, corrupts good character. It's true. You got to watch who you let into your life, who you let into your mind, what you let into your mind. All these things that feed your mind and are either helping your transformation or it is hurting your transformation. Paul gives us some more advice as to what we should allow in. You ready? Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what? Everybody reading with me? Think about such things. Amen. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed is one of the keys to living and overcoming Christian life. And if we are ever going to be the people that God wants us to be and accomplish what he wants us to accomplish, hear me, metamorphosis is critical. And hear me, metamorphosis or transformation is not a one-time thing. It is a daily process. The outward changes that we so often want people to see in our lives, it's got to start on the inside and work its way out. And by the way, let me tell you something. If you're trying to make outward changes, but you're not making any heart changes, that is not sustainable. As a matter of fact, that is a faith that is being driven by works and by appearances. Amen? Come on, you don't need that. You need to ask God to change you from the inside out. Here's what Jesus said about this inward-outward reality, Luke 6:45. A good person produces good things from where? The treasury of a good what? Come on, I need y'all to help me out here today. I got the air on so you're comfortable. Amen? A good heart. Said good things come from a good heart, but look what else Jesus said. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Well, I can't control what I say when I get angry. Yes, you can. I'm not responsible. I'm just going to speak my truth. Well, you go ahead and speak your truth, but it's coming from an evil heart. That's what the Bible says, amen. I said it 2 weeks ago. I'm going to say it again. Everybody over the age of 20 is responsible for your words and for how you treat other people. I know that doesn't fit the narrative. I know that doesn't fit that I'm going to blame it on everybody else situation. But no, as an adult, I choose what my heart is and what comes out of my heart through my mouth. Thank you. As God works to transform the inside, eventually it starts showing up on the outside. It reminds me of an old song that we used to sing, and it's a real hard song to learn, y'all. Are y'all ready? Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. That's the whole song. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Oh, what a change in my life. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. What a change in every area of my life. And see, when you look at the second part of Romans 12 and 2, you see the reason why this transformation is important. Why do I need to be a living sacrifice? Why do I need to have a renewal of the mind? Here it is, two different translations. The NIV, then, everybody say then. Then means when. After I've made a sacrifice of myself, after I've renewed my mind, I will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Same verse from the New Living Translation. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. In other words, the whole purpose of transformation, of metamorphosis, is so that you can begin to decipher and comprehend and unwrap what God's will or desire is for your life. And that's when you get happy. That's when you find purpose. That's when you get into the lane of what God wants you to be, and you're flowing in what Paul said is the good and perfect and pleasing will of God in your life. That's why this process is so important. See, some of you are confused right now. Some of you, you don't know what direction you're going in right now. The question is, are you undergoing metamorphosis or are you constantly being conformed to this world? Metamorphosis combines being a living sacrifice, mentioned in verse 1, and experiencing the renewing of your mind in verse 2, in order to get to the place of knowing God's will for your life. That's my sermon in a sentence. That's it. And hear me, though, the opposite of this is also true. If you don't get to this place of sacrifice and renewal, you're never going to fully discover God's will for your life. So, do you want to be conformed or transformed? Do you want to live in a state of godly metamorphosis, or do you just want to stay the same way that you've always been? Do the same things you've always done. Because every one of us are faced with a basic question that we've got to answer. What type of life do I want to live? What kind of life do I want to live? What kind of person do I want to be? What kind of life do I want to have unfold before me? Paul was writing this letter of Romans to the Christians in Rome. And in essence, he was outlining for them, there are two ways you can live your life. Either the life of the conformed or the life of the transformed. There's two ways of living. One's going to be an unhealthy, unproductive, toxic path where you're shaped by the enemy and culture. The other is going to be a way where you're allowing God to transform you and make you new and do a metamorphosis in your life. And then you're going to find those three things: the good, the pleasing, and the perfect will of God for your life. First, there's the way of the conformed. What does a conformed Christian look like? There's somebody that's maybe gotten caught up in the deceptions of this world. They've made a decision that although they love Jesus, they'd rather pattern their life after the mold of the world. They tend to flow with the latest trends or ideologies. They swallow up the narrative that if you resist the agenda of the day, you must be a person of hate or bitterness and you don't know how to love. Amen. The narrative is if you refuse to change or you refuse to buy into the lies of our culture that no longer embraces a biblical worldview, then you're not really loving others. That's a lie from the enemy. It's a trick of the devil to try to silence us and be ashamed of what we believe and who we are. Come on, somebody. If you pattern yourself after the ways of the world, what happens? See, the pursuit of the conformed Christian, it looks a lot like the lives of the people in the world. But here's how John frames it. The world. 1 John 2:16. Everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The way of the conformed is all about experiencing what this world has to offer at the expense of actually missing. Here, don't miss this. You're missing out on God's best for your life. I remember as a teenager when I first started serving the Lord, and I'm embarrassed to say this, but I'll just tell the truth. I remember there were times in my mind I thought, am I going to live for Jesus or am I going to have fun? Because see, I had gotten so enraptured in what I thought I was missing out on. And frankly, I hadn't lived enough life yet to really understand what the good and perfect and pleasing will of God, the fruit that it produces in your life. But I started focusing on what I thought I was missing out on instead of understanding all the great benefits that were going to unfold by living the transformed life. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on. It's so true. The conformed Christian never gets to experience God's best because, hear me, you're settling for less when you allow compromise to lead and dictate your life. They focus on things that are only temporary. In the eyes of the world, a conformed Christian might appear successful because they're living their life according to the success standards of this world. But sacrifice and transformation are necessary to get God's good, pleasing, and perfect will in your life. I want to encourage you today to embrace godly metamorphosis. Because the transformed life is characterized by the words that Paul used: good, pleasing, perfect. That's the way of the transformed. Joy, contentment. There's nothing in this life that can substitute for discovering God's plan for your life and finishing the course that God has laid out for your life. There's no greater joy. And I'm here today to give somebody some hope. Because you might be a Christian who's allowed yourself to get off the path. Guess what? You can get right back on the path. You might be a Christian that maybe you've fallen off the cliff of compromise. Guess what? You can get right back up and start serving the Lord again today. Amen? You can allow God to begin to start transforming you again and shaping you again and putting you on the right path again. Because not only what we enjoy in this life, but imagine the joy of one day standing before the Lord and hearing Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Did you notice it doesn't say well-intentioned? Or, well, I wish I would have. No, well done, good and faithful servant. See, the truth is there's no true fulfillment and satisfaction in your life if you're a Christian outside of the will of God. May not always be the easiest road, but it's the road worth traveling. Galatians 6 and verse 9 says, let us not become weary in well-doing or in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And with true metamorphosis, folks, God always leads us to a life of separation from this world. Now, it's not a message that you hear a lot in the church world today, but hear me, God established the principle of separation all the way back in the beginning of his creation in Genesis chapter 1. Whenever God, don't miss this, whenever God creates something new, it always involves separating you from something else. Amen. You can see it in Genesis. Genesis 1, verse 4. He divided the light from the darkness. Separation. Verse 7. He divided the waters above from the waters beneath. Verse 9. He divided the dry land from the seas. Verse 14. He divided the day from the night. God has always advocated separation and distinction between unlike things. Amen. And hear me. The people of God, even in 2024, we should act different than the world around us. We should talk different than the world around us. We should walk different than the world around us. Amen. Being conformed is allowing the world to determine what we are. One translation said it this way: don't allow the world to mold you into its shape. Don't conform to its carnality and unrighteousness. Live after the new man that God has made us to be. The transformed man will learn not to just love the world system or the things in this world. And listen to what Peter said about what we're called to be. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are the ones chosen by God. Chosen for the high calling of priestly work. Chosen to be a holy people. God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him. To tell others, I love this line. To tell others of the night and day difference he made for you. Is there anybody that can testify that he's made a night and day difference in your life? Hallelujah. God's people, we are distinctive, we are different, we are special, we are chosen, we are transformed. The transformed man or woman, we stand out against the backdrop of this world. You know what I've learned? You don't have to tell people that your life has changed. If it's changed, they see it. They experience it. They know it. They sense it. Amen. And hear me, as believers, it doesn't mean we're elitist. It doesn't mean we're special. But as believers, we are different. And we ought to be. God's call is not just to come out of the world, but also to come into his light. Amen. That day and night difference. We're not just coming out, but we're also moving in. He calls us to loose ourselves of the cares of this world and to embrace his purpose in our life. The transformed man or woman is not content just to separate ourselves. We also want to draw near to God. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Metamorphosis is a daily thing. We've got to be a church that is not conforming to the world, and we've got to understand it takes intentional effort on our parts to renew our minds. How many of you know, and how many of you don't have to raise your hands, there are some days where, man, you just got to beat off the evil thoughts. Come on. Hateful thoughts, lustful thoughts, angry thoughts. Sometimes you wake up in the morning, you already know, oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Because your mind, right? Come on. Your mind's not in the right place. You know what we need to do every time we wake up? Right when your feet hit the floor. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And the first invasive thought of the enemy, you just need to say, get behind me, Satan. I am not going down that path today. You're not going to trip me up. You're not going to stop me. You're not going to make me go down that path today. I choose to be happy. I choose to be joyful. I choose to be positive. I choose to not focus. Come on, somebody. I'm renewing my mind. I'm taking every thought captive, and I say, Jesus, cover me. Baptize my brain with positivity. Amen. Say, oh, that's just nonsense. No, it's not. That's taking dominion over all the junk that the enemy is doing in your life. You've heard it said many times, I didn't come up. The devil can put thoughts in your head, but you don't have to let him build a nest there. Reject those things in Jesus' name. Lord, renew me, renew me, renew my mind so I can find that good, perfect, and pleasing will of God. I want the praise team and musicians to come. Jesus said, I didn't call you to drab, defeated life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. Hallelujah. And that you might have it more abundantly. Can I just tell you, I made up my mind a long time ago when I started serving the Lord. I said, God, if I'm going to serve you, I'm going to give it my very best. And I'm going to enjoy every minute of it. Amen. I'm going to squeeze life like a sponge and enjoy living for Jesus. You need to decide what kind of life you want to live. What kind of person do you want to be? Do you want to follow the way of the conformed, or do you want to follow the way of the transformed? I want you to stand with me all over this house. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Don't miss this part. The old has gone. The new is here. I'm not who I used to be. Sometimes I might act like the guy I used to be. But that's not who I am. Come on. I don't have an identity crisis. I am a child of God. I'm a blood-bought, saved believer in Jesus. Amen. That's the life I choose to live. That's the direction I choose to take. But hear me. You got to make up your mind every day. Lord, I'm going to reflect your goodness in my life. Lord, help me today to get my spirit right. Lord, help me to renew my mind. Because there's two natures that are at war within us, folks. Romans 7:18, the Apostle Paul even said this. He said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Paul, the guy who wrote most of the New Testament, Paul said, I love him, but man, me gets in the way. I love him and I want to do what's right, but I find myself more times than I care to admit not doing what's right. That's what Paul said. But you know what? Aren't you glad he didn't just dwell on it? Aren't you glad he didn't just focus on it? Aren't you glad he didn't just quit? When you choose a life of transformation, when you choose a life of metamorphosis over the walk of confirmation, hear me, your fleshly nature remains. It's not going to go away. But with effort, hear me, everybody say with effort. With effort, you can keep subject to the new spiritual nature. And hear me, it is well worth the battle. The greatest blessing of a transformed person is the privilege of being a son of God. Amen. I'm going to give an invitation right now, and I'm going to invite you to come. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I just want to pray. Father, right now in this room, there's men and women who love you. That's why they're here. But we don't pretend to have it all together. Some of us have allowed the vice of confirmation to squeeze just a little too hard. Some of us, we've allowed the enemy or the pawns of the enemy or people that the enemy is using to push us and conform us and mold us in ways that we know are not pleasing to you. So the first thing I want to do, Lord, is I just want to say I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the times that I've allowed the pressure to get to me. I'm sorry for the times that I've allowed my flesh to be stronger than my spirit. I'm sorry, Lord, for the times that I just didn't choose the right thing. But God, I'm so grateful that your mercy is new every morning. And so today, Lord, the people that are in this room or those that are watching online, God, I just pray right now we would not focus so much on the mistakes of the past, but on the newness of this day. An opportunity, God, to invite you to begin a metamorphosis in me all over again. And I'm starting that, God, by Romans 12:1, by giving myself again as a living sacrifice. Forgive me, wash me, cleanse me, use me for the glory of God. And Lord, and as I lay myself on the altar, I'm going to make the intentional effort to allow you to renew my mind. I want to take every thought captive that doesn't please you. Lord, I want to humble myself before you. I want to walk in obedience and not disobedience. Lord, if I tend to be a negative person, Lord, I'm going to work on being positive. If I tend to be a person of doubt, I'm going to work on being a person of faith. Lord, if I tend to be cynical, I'm going to pray to be positive. I want to reflect your goodness in my life. And God, I don't want the conformed on it. I want the good, the pleasing, and the perfect will of God. That's my prayer. Amen. I'm going to invite you to come right now. Step out from where you are. If you want to make that commitment to the Lord today, I want you to come and say, God, I don't want to be conformed anymore. I want to be transformed. I want this day to be like every day. God, I want to make myself new in your presence. Would you come? As the team sings, would you come? Come on, everybody. Yes. Transform me, God. Transform me.
Praise God. What a wonderful message. I got permission to geek out a little bit here. So everything that Pastor said and preached about this morning is actually backed up by science, empirical science that were discovered by neuroscientists. The first concept is this, that we have the ability, literally have the ability to rewire our brain. It used to be believed that once kids hit adulthood, their brains stopped developing and they were permanently wired to think the way they think. But over the past couple of decades, neuroscientists have discovered the term or the concept of neuroplasticity, that we can rewire our brain. And that when we do, the old neural pathways, those are the pathways that our thoughts travel on, they die off as we intentionally have better thoughts and healthy thoughts. And another concept that Pastor touched on is something called interneural personal biology, meaning what helps wire our brain is the environments and the relationships that we put ourselves in. We are constantly being molded by the environments we put ourselves in and then the relationships we surround ourselves. Which is very important because that's why it is important to come to church, be around life-giving people. It's important to show up for a small group. It's important to spend time in the presence of Jesus because all of that's molding you into the character of Christ. So this is really exciting because you don't have to stay the way you are. You don't have to think the way you used to think. That God has literally hardwired in you the ability to transform with His presence to walk in victory. Praise God.
Hey, thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.